The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Your discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys. And then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Whoops, hold on. I gotta get audio going. For some reason, oh, okay. Now audio is going, or it will be in a second. All right, here we go.
Chief Lux here. I'm not sure why it is, but so often songs pop right in my head as soon as I wake up, and my voice isn't even ready to go yet, but there it is. Donald's back in court today. He won't have nothing nice to say. He'll mostly sleep the time away. He does it damn near every day. At break, he'll do his standard pitch. He'll piss and moan and whine and bitch, 'cause life's unfair when you are rich and folks you trusted start to snitch. He's not been held accountable before. His fragile ego cannot stand the strain. He'll crack for sure if he endures much more. Fictitious cannibals have filled his brain.
Yeah.
Oh, Donald's headed back to court. He's tired, his attention's short. He'll snooze and sleep and sigh and snort. Can't wait to hear the news report. Thanks for listening.
Bruce W. Nelson, everybody. Actually, you know, they are in his alter ego persona of mangy fetlocks. Getting us started on a Thursday. I actually have a comedy bit that I'm going to share with you, but I thought it needed a setup. So I thought I'd start with old mangy fetlocks. That was a particularly good one. You know, he knocks them out like two a day. I give him all the credit in the world. My brain doesn't work that quickly these days. Anyway, welcome to a Thursday. It is, Thursdays are Howie Klein days around here. Howie Klein, of course, the proprietor of downwithtyranny.com and the man behind the Blue America PAC, who seeks out, identifies, and supports the candidacies of real progressives. When they started, they mostly dealt with congressional races, but they've expanded a little bit. Anyway, Howie will be here today, but here's the thing. Years ago, it's got to be 10 years ago already or more, Howie fought a rare and aggressive form of cancer. And thankfully, he beat it. Something else he and I have in common. But anyway, he still, you know, was under a doctor's care. And every so many months, he has a hospital day. But what he told, and that's today. But what he told me is usually he's sitting around and waiting most of the time. So he said, maybe we can, you know, just do it. He does it by phone anyway. So I said, sure. So we'll call him. Of course, with my luck, chances are that the minute I get him on the phone, they're going to call him in for a test or something. If that's the case, we'll deal, because there's so much insanity to talk about today. And so, yeah, we got plenty. And of course, I still have that Michael Franti interview from last July. The last time I saw Michael Franti in concert, I'm going to see him this weekend, if you're wondering why I'm talking about Michael Franti again so much. If you're not familiar with his music, you should be. And especially in a time like this in history, when we could all use a little dose of positivity, because that's what he brings. So anyway, tomorrow's Friday. I'm not getting ahead of myself here. Tomorrow's Friday. Usually I record with Marcy Wheeler. Sorry, at 10 o'clock my time here in Arizona. She is in Ireland. That's one of the reasons why we record in the morning here, because it's getting to be late afternoon there. And so we do that. And then the show runs at our regular airtime, which is 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. But tomorrow, because I want to be on the road by 10 o'clock, we're going to record earlier, which works out just fine because, well, in one instance, there's no court for Donald Trump tomorrow. No, Donald Trump got the day off because it's Barron's graduation. Now, somebody's calling right off the bat. So, all right, let's check out, see who it is. Hi, who's this?
Yeah, hi, Nicole. It's Timmy in Vermont.
Hey, Kenny in Vermont.
Forgive me for calling so early
into
the show, but would you please ask Howie if he knew a gentleman by the name of Jonas Hardy?
Jonas Hardy.
He was tour manager of Three Dog Night.
Oh.
And he was big with Reprise and Frank Sinatra and Herb Alpert and all that kind of stuff. And Jonas is also a cancer survivor as well.
Ah.
But would you just ask him?
Okay, I will. I just made a note of it. So, because if I don't write things down, I don't remember. I forget. So I wrote it down. It's right here in my book. I will ask him.
Okay, I shall leave you alone.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you. See, we aim to please here at the Nicole Sandler Show. And yes, you know, when I'm not talking to a guest, you're welcome to call in. If I can't take the call, I just won't answer. But the number's up there on the screen for those of you watching on the YouTube or the Shitter or the Twitch or the Facebook, all places we stream video to. If you're listening to audio, I'm remiss. I don't give out the numbers enough. 954-889-6410. Or you can Skype in. It's Nicole Sandler, all one word. But anyway, so I will ask him that question. But now I forgot where I was going, my train of thought. There was something. I'll get to it. All right. So let me just go with the flow here. So tomorrow, I know what I was going to show you. So Trump, there's no court tomorrow. They're usually just dark on Wednesdays, though they may be in session next Wednesday because the jury might be deliberating by then. Today, I guess, at the end of the day of testimony, Michael Cohen was spent his second day on the stand under cross-examination by Trump's so-called defense attorneys. And they stretched it out, so it got to the end of the day. So the jurors have the weekend to ruminate over what they've heard over the last few days. And now, so they come back on Monday. On Monday, the prosecution gets to redirect, and they may, I'm sure, they'll ask a few questions, but then they'll wrap it up. And then it's, and then it goes to the defense, who will either, if Donald Trump really means that he wants to testify, it's up to him. But it sounds like the defense is not putting on any defense. So, and then it's closing statements, and then it goes to the jury. So by this time next week, we could even have a verdict. Oh, yeah. It's a mixed sword. It's a double-edged sword. It could go either way. Anyway, so tomorrow there's no court because Donald Trump argued that I want to go see my son graduate. Not that he went to any of his other spawns' graduations, but you know, I guess there's always a first time. However, this invitation crossed my desktop. It is from Majority Whip Tom Emmer and David Han, whoever that is, Republican Party of Minnesota chairman. It is the Minnesota's 2024 Lincoln-Reagan dinner with special guest Donald J. Trump. That is tomorrow evening. So is he going to the graduation or is he going to this thing? Did he lie to the judge? I'm sure he would blow off his son's graduation for any excuse, but you know, there's that. You know, if I had to make a bet, I'd say he's gone to Minnesota and he doesn't go to the graduation. We'll see. We'll see. I got no money to bet, but there's that. We will get to the court and what happened today and the ridiculous entourage that showed up. But I heard about something just today that actually happened on Saturday. And the response has been kind of overwhelming. Oh, the graduation's at 10. So he goes to the graduation at 10. I gotcha. Thank you, chatters. The chatters in the YouTube, on the YouTube channel, you guys are the best. Seriously. So thank you. So I guess he gets to do both. And Sydney, I don't know why the video keeps freezing for you. I think we're doing okay today. So far, so good. Sydney not happening for Spocko. So Sydney, you know, what I always say is when in doubt, restart. Because that, you know, that's what I do when something's not working. Restart, reboot. I wish I could do that with life sometimes, but oh well. Okay, so apparently, now I am not a sports fan. I'm a music lover. I could do without the sports, but I know it's there. And I know that, for instance, Taylor Swift's boyfriend is a football player with the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, apparently, Taylor Swift's boyfriend has a teammate. The teammate's name, oh, let me pull this up here. Hold on. I thought I had this. Did I have this on video? Hold on. I've got so much stuff today. All right. So his name is Harrison Butker, B-U-T-K-E-R. He's the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And he delivered the commencement address. Really? A football kicker delivered a commencement address? Why? Is he some great brain? Well, apparently not. But it was at Benedictine College, a small Catholic college, of course it was, in Atchison, Kansas. And his comments, well, his comments raised a few eyebrows. Hold on one second. I know I do have a little bit of his, I think I have a little bit of his commencement speech. I thought I saved it there. Did I not? Well, you know what? Screw. I've got, it's all right. You don't need to hear his words. I've got a transcription. So here's what he said. Women, I want to speak directly to you briefly because I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. And then he said, how many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you're going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but brace yourselves. But I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. Wow. Wow. Wait for the privileged white guy to mansplain to women what we're most excited about in life. Apparently, he also praised his wife, Isabel, saying she, quote, would be the first to say her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and mother.
Bullshit.
He, of course, criticized President Joe Biden, who is a Catholic. Actually, Joe Biden is the only one of apparently the two major contenders for the presidency this year who is a man of religion anyway, who's actually read the Bible and believes that shit. But it doesn't matter. Burker criticized Biden, who is Catholic, and other unnamed Catholic leaders for, quote, pushing dangerous gender ideologies onto the youth of America. So there he disses transgender people and their rights. Then in a swipe at the LGBTQ communities, Burker encouraged graduates to have, quote, Catholic pride, but, quote, not the deadly sin sort of pride that has an entire month dedicated to it. Oh, my God. He went on. He also, touched on the DEI debate, saying, quote, the world around us says that we should keep our beliefs to ourselves whenever they go against the tyranny of diversity, equity, and inclusion. Diversity, equity, and inclusion are tyranny? That's why Howie calls his site Down with Tyranny, I guess. Or not. Oh, my God. So he's come under a bit of criticism. Now, in perusing the interwebs today, I happened upon Crooks and Liars, you know, a site that I know well and enjoy. And they actually had the story. Now, I misunderstood what they were saying because it appeared that the BBC issued a response to this kicker. Is a kicker actually really a football player? I'm just asking. I, I, It's sort of like a, well, no, I'm not going to go there. I don't think the kicker has the physical prowess of the rest of the team. But then again, what do I know? I don't watch football. I'm going to piss someone off. So forget it. More important things. But so actually what Crooks and Liars did was they found this response from this show on the BBC, BBC Two, actually, to some other sexist, ridiculous asshole who made some comments apparently 6 years ago, because that's when this came from. But you know what? Their response to this football player, Harrison Butker, is actually the perfect response to that dickhead. So with no further ado, let's listen. It's a message from women everywhere.
Women have told everyone to just fuck off. Tired of being judged for choosing to have children or not have children, to have children and go back to work, to have children and not go back to work, for being too thin, too fat, too pushy, too unambitious, too hot, not hot enough, or even for just daring to be alive. Women have stressed that everyone can go fuck themselves. Nathan Muir has been gauging the reaction because apparently a man is the best person to report this story.
If you have a vagina, people have the right to judge you on every single thing you do, even what you do with your vagina. Uh-huh. Or so it has been up until now. I spoke to one of womankind, or the clitorati, as no one is calling them, about their backlash.
Enough's enough. The message is clear, and the message is, you're right, we will do as you command. Just kidding, it's fuck off.
That's all from me.
Who knew? Who knew the BBC had it in them? That was from a show called The MASH Report. And again, that was 6 years old. Because I'm thinking, really, it was the British who responded to this insanity? But the pushback has been somewhat universal. And so Harrison Butker is attempting to do damage control. So here he wants to set the record straight. So here's his damage control quote. Everyone is taking what I said out of context. All I said is that we should go back to a better time, like the 50s and 60s, when men were men and women had more babies than thoughts. What? When the only Me Too movement was one woman saying she was ready for her fourth child and another one agreeing. Oh, my God. This calls for a song. Now, I've got two songs, actually, that we can play. This one, of course, we haven't whipped out in a while. Everyone, sing out.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole. It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
Asshole. His name is
Harrison Butker.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole. Oh, yeah.
Now, to make matters worse, you're hearing an echo on YouTube. When I'm talking or when I'm playing something else, it's probably when I'm playing something else because I didn't. Hold on. I didn't fix the stupid, all right, that I need on. That's why you're hearing the echo. All right, the echo should be gone now. Damn it. I hate when I do that. Man. Okay, so anyway, clitorati. Oh, so that whole thing was echoed. Sorry about that. Apparently, Harrison's mother was an accomplished woman. Here you go. Louise O'Brien in the chat room. Thank you again, chat room. His mother, Elizabeth Keller Butker, had a distinguished career. She's a medical physicist in the Department of Radiation Oncology at the Emory University School of Medicine. She must be so proud, don't you think? Again, to clean up the mess he made with that commencement speech, all I said is that we should go back to a better time, like the 50s and 60s, when men were men and women had more babies than thoughts, when the only Me Too movement was one woman saying she was ready for her fourth child and another woman agreeing. Hey, Harrison, I got a second song for you, baby.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch, shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch, shut the fuck up, bitch.
Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up, right. Shut the fuck up.
Bow, bow.
Shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up, shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
And to show that I listen to you guys, due to popular demand and because it was echoey the first time around, let's hear that BBC clip again. Now, those of you listening to the audio stream, you had no echo, but it was that good. So let's hear it again. Take it away, BBC.
And have told everyone to just fuck off. Tired of being judged.
I guess I should start it from the beginning, right? Because, you know, third time's the charge.
Women have told everyone to just fuck off. Tired of being judged for choosing to have children or not have children, to have children and go back to work, to have children and not go back to work, for being too thin, too fat, too pushy, too unambitious, too hot, not hot enough, or even for just daring to be alive. Women have stressed that everyone can go fuck themselves. Nathan Muir has been gauging the reaction because apparently a man is the best person to report this story.
If you have a vagina, people have the right to judge you on every single thing you do, even what you do with your vagina. Or so it has been up until now. I spoke to one of womankind, or the clitorati, as no one is calling them, about their backlash.
Enough's enough. The message is clear, and the message is, you're right, we will do as you command. Just kidding, it's fuck off.
That's all from me.
That's all from her. And then she gave a double bird. The double bird is what that's called, the double bird. All right, so there's other news, right? So I started off, I know, I just had to get to this Harrison Belker, or whatever his name is, story. But the other, you know, story is that what's happening in court today. And he did have an entourage with him that included, get ready for this, Andy Biggs of Arizona, Anna Paulina Luna, the nut job from Florida, Ralph Norman, Diana Harshenberger of Tennessee, Bob Good, who heads up the Freedom Caucus. Oh, yeah, baby. Michael Cloud, Andy Ogles, Eli Crane, another Arizonan, and Mike Waltz, another Floridian. Oh, and Lauren Boebert. Did I say Lauren Boebert? Yeah, this is the, those of you watching on video, this is what Matt Gaetz shitted out on the shitter machine. A photograph of him standing with the other, you know, red tie wearing Bobbsey twins, standing behind the former guy in front of the courthouse. And the text that he wrote that accompanied the picture says, "Standing back and standing by, Mr. President." Are you fucking kidding me? That's, of course, famously what Donald Trump said to the Proud Boys when he was alerting them to stand by to, you know, try to overthrow the government and a fair and free election. So meanwhile, you know, today is Thursday. Thursday. Actually, the Congress, it was in session today. And, well, there was one committee that some of these people allegedly serve on. And, well, let's take you to that committee today and hear from one of the members of the committee, Congressman Eric Swalwell.
Colleagues on the other side can make it today. I don't know if that means that there weren't enough seats in the courtroom in New York, but I know that the Oversight Committee canceled a hearing that was supposed to happen this matter so that they could be at the president's trial. I know some members will miss this vote because they want to be at the president's trial. And I don't think that anything could animate the phrase "do nothing Congress" more than missing votes and canceling hearings to go up and be a spectator at your cult leader's trial.
Ooh.
That is the definition of do nothing Congress. But I'm here for a celebration because let's raise a glass.
Yeah.
It's been about 2 years, 2 years this week. May 12 is when Jim Jordan, our chairman, was subpoenaed and asked to comply with his subpoena for his role, his interaction with the former president on the January 6th attack of the Capitol. And so we are now 735 days in. It's 2 years. And this committee has the nerve. This committee has the temerity to seek compliance from the Attorney General. I actually think you should not be able to bring any subpoena of another person if you are out of compliance of your own subpoena. That seems to make a lot of sense
to me.
And we'll have an amendment to address that a little bit later.
Thank you, Congressman Eric Swalwell. See, I told you a lot was going on today. So they skipped, those idiots skipped their day job for which we pay their salaries to go to, to be Donald Trump's cheerleaders inside the court and bootlickers outside the court. And we say that because somebody held up a sign above Matt Gaetz's head when he was speaking in front of the microphone that said, bootlicker. That was pretty good.
I
got to get Howie. Maybe I'll save these for Howie. Well, it's a little early. I'll tell you what, before I get to the next thing, this will serve as a good lead-in for Howie. I'm making history here because 2 days in a row, I'm going to play something for you from the Lincoln Project. Now, I've been warning you about Project 2025. Boy, a lot of projects floating around here. And I've told you before, I don't usually, play content from the Lincoln Project. I just don't. But in this case, again, they're putting out some good content. And what do they say? Content is king. If the shoe fits, all those things. So this one is particularly relevant to what's happening, not only in this country, but really in the world today, but led by, Trump and his ilk and his Project 2025 buddies. So this is the ad that the Lincoln Project just put out today.
In the 1930s, Hitler didn't just seize power. It was handed to him by the wealthy, by the powerful, by a compliant elite, by people who thought they were above the angry masses and violent anti-Semites. He was given power by Germans who knew what he believed, but thought they could contain him, control him, that his crazed speeches and dangerous antics were just for show, that his hatred would never turn on them. But like every dictator before or since, Hitler used his power to bring death, despair, and tragedy to the world. Before the world said, never again, millions of Germans believed, it can't happen here.
It can't happen here.
Germany bet wrong in 1933. Will we?
He says, you're not going to be a dictator, are you? I said, no, other than day one.
So usually the Lincoln Project's ads are kind of funny. This one, not funny, but deadly serious. It's called It Can't Happen Here. Well, again, mark your calendar. On Tuesday, we're going to be speaking with someone else who has a former life as a white Christian nationalist and knows who those people are. And she has launched a new Substack to explain the dangers of Project 2025. So her name is Andra Watkins. Again, she'll be here on Tuesday. Her work is found at project2025istheocracy.substack.com. All right, Howie's just sitting there waiting for us, but I'm going to put him off for another couple of minutes because I want to play for you this clip from Jasmine Crocker, who is a rising star in Congress. She's awesome. Congresswoman from Texas, who the hearing they had, one of the architects, one of the people who's working on Project 2025, and Jasmine Crockett gives him a little bit of an education.
You know, Mr. Hamilton, I don't want you to feel left out of this conversation. So I'm going to make sure I ask you some questions.
Okay.
Let me know if you're having problems answering them, because they really should be yes or no.
Yes, they should.
Let's see. You're the executive director for the America First Legal, correct?
That's correct.
All right. And look at his America First Legal is a member of
Project 2025, which is dedicated to creating the playbook for the next conservative administration and what it calls the project pillars, correct?
We are proud contributors to Project 2025.
Okay. And are you familiar with Project 2025's mandate for leadership?
In fact, I am.
Okay. Yes, he is.
And in fact, you wrote some of the sections of this mandate related to the DOJ, correct?
Sure did.
And the mandate outlines policy priorities for the next conservative president. Is that correct?
It does.
You've done a great job. I just want to let you know. All right. So let's walk through some of the provisions of the mandate. It calls for eliminating the Department of Education, eliminating the Department of Commerce, deploying the military for the use of domestic law enforcement against protesters under the Insurrection Act of 1807. It also has the repealing of Schedule F status for thousands of federal employees to allow a president to replace career civil servants with unqualified partisan loyalists. That's probably my favorite of it. It also prohibits the FBI from combating the spread of misinformation and disinformation, like Russia and China, who are actively trying to interfere with American elections. I don't know why or how anybody can support Project 2025.
I don't either.
And I know that there was allegedly a joke about dictators and whether or not that's funny, but in the United States of America, dictatorships are never funny. And Project 2025 is giving the playbook for authoritarianism as well as the next dictator to come in.
Yep.
And I know that you are doing your jobs here by making sure that hopefully some juror turns on and finds some viral moment of you spewing more of the nonsense as it relates to the president. But as practicing lawyers or licensed attorneys, I hope that we can all agree that no one gets indicted because someone says so. There takes a grand jury, and the grand jury is comprised of American citizens that sit down and review evidence, and they make the determination. And when and if Trump is convicted, it will be a jury of his peers, and it won't be the president of the United States.
You go, girl. That was Jasmine Crocker. She rocks. And now, this.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and French fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All Rockets. For only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass Eagle. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet
and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Did I say Jasmine Crocker? I meant Crockett. Howie, are you there?
I was wrong about her.
Were you?
In the beginning. She was, there's like a terrible echo.
Oh, sorry.
Her first campaign was very, for Congress, was very much financed by the, Sam Bankman-Fried.
Ooh.
So I thought she was just going to be terrible, but she's actually been really good. I really liked her.
Yeah. No, she's great. She was on fire today reading the Riot Act to this idiot from this really smarmy guy. I don't know if you saw the video or not, but he was just he looked like the snottiest nosed kid. Reminded me of Stephen Miller's attitude, that kind of asshole at this congressional hearing. And she was having nothing for none of it. I really like her.
Oh, and was it a witness or another member of Congress?
No, he was a witness. His name is, hold on, I will tell you, I have so much stuff here today. His name is Gene Hamilton, and he's part of Project 2025. He runs one of their initiatives.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense.
Yep. So, no, she's not. Karina says, so she's like, first of all, it's Jared Moskowitz, not Jerry Moskowitz, just putting on a show. Not at all. Jared Moskowitz is a showman who just wants to make noise. Jasmine Crockett is brilliant, and she brings receipts. Totally different thing. Sorry, I was just responding to someone in the chat room who just got it wrong. I don't put her and Jared Moskowitz in the same boat in any sense of the word.
No, Jared Moskowitz, as I said before, I think even on this show, is basically the Democratic version of Marjorie Taylor Greene.
That's right. That's right. Meanwhile,
showman.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, Howie Klein, you mentioned a new nickname for old Marge, and it's Moscow Marge. Marge had her ass handed to her last week, and I'm not sure that I agree with the Democrats who bailed out the meeker Speaker Johnson, but she tried to have him removed, and she failed miserably.
I know, but I don't think it mattered to her that much. I mean, it would have been a nice feather in her cap if she did get him removed, but she got what she wanted anyway, which was tons of press. She was all over the news. Her name is becoming better and better known. I mean, she sees herself either, if not in, in the Trump cabinet, as someone who can run for the Senate. I think that's what she's aiming
for. For the
she's
Senate?
She's looking to get as much press as she can. I'm certain that either one of the Democratic senators of Georgia would absolutely love to have her as an opponent.
Oh,
so
yes.
I wouldn't worry about that too
no.
much.
I know, and I'd love to see it too, because John Ossoff and, oh God, why am I blanking on his name? The Reverend
Warnock.
Warnock. I'd watch either one of them take her on, because she's a moron. She's just an idiot. Some of these people you can't say that about, because they're sly. They're criminals. They're crooks. But you know, at least they have a brain and they know what they're doing. She has none of it.
Yeah, looks that way to me too. I mean, from all I've been able to read about her in high school and, you know, college, kind of, she was an idiot.
Yeah.
So there she is.
She is.
Not and quite as dumb as Boebert, but close.
So Boebert showed up in court today for Trump. So she left D.C., where she has a job that pays her quite well to you know, do her job. She left and went to New York to sit there and be a cheerleader. And it turns out that Lauren couldn't get herself to her son's trial to be there to provide moral support for him, but she goes to New York to be at Trump's.
Yeah, well, that tells you a little something about her family values, priorities.
Yes, it does.
My favorite thing about, I'm not following it that closely, you know, what's going on there, but I did see a wonderful tweet of this guy handing her the playbill of Beetlejuice, asking her for an autograph.
And did she?
I don't know. I wanted
funny.
To ask him, but I didn't do it.
Oh my God, that's funny. That is funny. You know, you came in. I was playing the Jasmine Crockett bit,
which is why I mentioned him.
Right, of course, excoriating this guy from Project 2025, and that followed up an ad that the Lincoln Project put out today. I don't usually play their stuff, but this one was very fitting, and it's called "It Can't Happen Here," and showing basically the 1930s and the rise of Hitler, and how in Germany they said it couldn't happen there, and it did, and. You know, I wanted to play that before I brought you on, or as I had you on, because you have a post up that you put up this morning that you said, I'm certain that Sartre would agree that the MAGA movement poses an existential threat to democracy. Also, political violence reminiscent of 1930s Italy and Germany. This was an unusual post for you.
I'm going more and more in that direction of trying to sort of put stuff in context more than just reporting news. I mean, I always liked doing that anyway, but I just felt like, you know, I mean, first of all, I love digging deep into subjects like that. I mean, people might not know what existentialism is. They might not know who Sartre is. They might not know who Jean Genet is. They might not know who Francis Bacon is. Mm-hmm. This is art I use to illustrate that particular post. But I love, you know, going into it myself. And if people want to come along for the ride, I love that too. And some do.
And the thing is, we are at that point in our existence. I mean, Digby was here on Tuesday, and she and I got more in the philosophical weeds, if you can put it that way, than ever before, just sort of freaking out over how the hell did we get here and what is going on, especially in this country. But it's not only here, it's happening around the world too. But we are in a dangerous place. And this even to you, Howie, you're someone who, you know, in the last election, you didn't vote for either Trump or Biden, for years we've been having this conversation, and you refused to do the lesser of two evils thing. Well, now you're not saying that anymore because the threat is unlike we've ever faced before in our lifetimes, anyway.
At least if we're not living in Gaza.
Well, that's true. We're not, but we're here, and the threat here is real. And if Donald Trump gets in, by the way, you know, you have another post up about how some young people are saying they won't vote for Biden because of Gaza, or they vote for Trump. If Trump gets in, don't think that the outlook for Gaza or the Palestinians is going to be any better under Trump than under Biden. He'd nuke the place.
No. He's much worse.
He's much
I don't,
worse.
It wasn't me who wrote that young people will vote for Trump. I don't believe
that was someone else.
That, I mean, there will be young people who vote for Trump, but not because of Gaza.
Right.
The young people who vote for Trump, and I did write about this,
yes,
which is very, very scary, and that is people who grew up, I have to walk away from this phone that's ringing, people who grew up in families where they liked Trump. They were like, 10 years old or 12 years
right.
old or 14 years old. And they're little racist monsters. And, I wrote about this woman's research. And these are young people that some of them are going to be voting for the first time in November. Yep. And they are so anxious to vote for Trump. They can't wait to vote for Trump. And it's all because, they're racist, they're frightened of immigrants, they're, xenophobic.
Yep.
And I'm sure plenty of them would just absolutely love that the U.S. would nuke Gaza as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the young people thing. Another one that I'm working on today is about how, and this is, I've been talking about this like for, three decades, how the Republican, conservatives, I should say, let me say conservatives, have gone out of their way to defund something that they've never believed in, and that's civics.
Yes.
We used to have, when I was a kid, we studied civics.
Eighth grade.
It was serious.
Eighth grade, it was civics. Absolutely. And now they don't.
Now, they were comparing how much it costs per student to teach the STEM subjects, which is $50 per student.
Oh, my
$50.
God.
You know what they spend on civics?
Zero.
Five cents per student.
Well, this is not new either, though, Howie, because when Allison, I remembered civics in eighth grade because, frankly, I really enjoyed that class. And it was the whole school year. Really enjoyed it. And Allison, when she was in middle school.
That's why they wanted to nuke it.
Yeah. They didn't have it when Allison was in middle school. And that was 10 years ago already.
Yeah. Well, Florida would.
Well, Florida.
That kind of thing.
Do you know what Florida just did? They passed a rule saying, there are certain must pass classes in high school. It's like a basic English and it's Algebra 1. If you don't pass those, you don't graduate. Not anymore. Now they'll graduate you even if you don't pass them. Because this is what.
My favorite Florida story today was they are declaring that climate change doesn't exist.
Well, that's nothing new either. Do you know when Rick Scott was in the governor's office, they were not allowed to use the term climate change in any official literature put out by the state. They could not say the words.
That's actually good because that's a pussy term. It's much better to call it global warming.
Right. Well, they couldn't use that either. They couldn't allude to it. They couldn't say it because they believe it doesn't exist.
Do they ever go out in Miami at night?
I don't know. Like in Miami at night, and especially like at full moon tide, at high tide, where the streets flood and the water comes out of the sewer drains. And, you can't make this shit up. They're talking about raising the streets in South Florida because of the sea level rise. But don't say climate change.
Right. Unbelievable.
And it's gotten worse. You cannot get homeowners insurance. So people who are moving to Florida are now regretting that because they're spending a fortune on property. Florida used to be a very inexpensive place to live. It was like the best kept secret. Rents were low, houses were cheap, no state income tax. But then, you know, Trump decided to make it a haven for right wingers. And the you cannot. There was a homeowners insurance crisis when DeSantis took office. It had started under Rick Scott, where you couldn't get insurance. And DeSantis comes in and they have a special session. And you think, OK, maybe they're going to deal with the insurance crisis. No, all they did was the culture war stuff. It was the Don't Say Gay bill. It was all his hateful stuff. It was his war on Disney. Did nothing about homeowners insurance. And all the insurers have left the state.
Yeah. And I just heard that Bezos just, like, I don't know if he bought or built the most expensive house in the world or something
in
like
Florida.
That.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You can't. You know, for those who are, you know, we always have interesting audio with you, Howie. Sometimes it sounds like you're in a giant auditorium alone. Things today, you sound different, but because you're not home.
No, I got home. I am home.
You are home. You're home now.
Yeah, I went to the hospital, and usually everything gets drawn out forever. You know, it just takes so long waiting. And I mean, I've been going to the same hospital for almost 9 years now, and on a very regular basis. But today, all of a sudden, out of the blue, everything just like flew. I mean, every single thing was on time. It never happens that way ever. It's always, you know, someone for some reason misses their, messes up the schedule. So it takes hours and hours. Today was like super, super great.
Oh,
I hope
wow.
everyone has super great experience next time they go to the hospital.
And just, you know, because people are like, why is he in the hospital? It was over 10 years ago already that you battled this cancer, wasn't it?
It was about 9 years.
9 years ago, because you had yours before I had mine, and I'm in August. I'm going to be 8 years cancer free.
Yep, I didn't even think about it, but then at the 8 year mark, my doctor, you know, reminded me that I had reached 8 years.
Yes. Well, believe me, I counted I know August 30th, because with me it was simple, because it was just my surgery and they removed these two separate and distinct tumors from two different parts of my lung. What's so weird is I had two separate lung cancers growing in me at the same time, that if I hadn't by a fluke found it, I'd probably be dead by now. But because we found it so early, they just did the surgery. I didn't need chemo or radiation or anything, knocking on wood, laminate. Yours was much more serious and involved, and a much more horrendous treatment that you went through for a long time. But I was
lucky because I found a doctor who's doing the research on this very rare kind of disease. In fact, she was telling me today that she had she's doing a study for one of the big drug companies, and they have three ways of treating this cancer. They own three drugs, and the one that's the most effective is the least profitable.
Ooh.
And that's the one that really, really does the best job, but they feel they can't make a profit on it. So they're just going to lock it up and not use it.
No.
She was freaking out. And I offered to introduce her to Jamie Raskin.
Oh, good.
I said, you know, it was the kind of cancer he had.
Oh,
and I said,
really?
He will be very, very interested in this. And she said, okay, she'll take me up on it. She's still trying to convince them that the drug is so much better than the other two that they're testing that they need to put it out. But they're never going to do it because they're not, you know, it's all about profit. And they feel that the other two drugs are profitable and this one isn't.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
That's sickening.
And I mean, she's saying that it's the difference of life and death for people. Not for everybody, but for some people, it will be the difference between life and death, and they just don't want to develop it.
That's horrible. That's just horrible. You know, that's the kind of thing that makes me so angry. There's got to be something we could do about it. Like, you know, right? I know.
We're talking about one of the biggest drug companies in the world.
that pays off, like, you know, half the members of Congress.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah, some things, sorry, I'm going to sound like a socialist here. Some things should be nationalized. Medicine, drugs, power, energy, you know, things like that should be nationalized. They shouldn't be gouging us for this. And again, you know, the, I guess the numbers, there was another economic report yesterday, and it shows the inflation numbers are better now than they were last month. People were freaked out last month because there was a spike and it was up when it shouldn't have been. And, you know, what people are calling inflation when they talk about, you know, not being able to afford groceries or rent or, you know, can we talk a bit about what corporate America is doing and how they are jacking up the prices and making record profits that they could lower prices, still make obscene profits and make things more affordable for the American people. But they take every opportunity to raise the prices to increase their profits, and it doesn't matter if it fucks over the rest of the American public or not.
Nice that you brought that up, and we didn't plan this
nope.
discussion. But last night I went to dinner with an old friend, Stephanie Kelton.
Good. I love Stephanie.
Her movie screened in L.A. for the first time. Everybody should see it.
I need to reach out to her about that movie. I'm making a note.
Oh, so you've had her on?
Oh, many times. She's been on many times.
No, about the movie.
Movie. I haven't spoken to her in a while.
You should definitely have her on about the movie. The movie's called Finding the Money, and it is great. I mean, she often talks to the Blue America candidates on a one-on-one basis, where she will help them to figure out how you answer a constituent. Like, in other words, here are our candidates talking about Medicare for All or talking about ameliorating the climate change. And these things are going to cost a lot of money. And invariably, a constituent or the media will say to them, how are you going to pay for it? And she is really, really good at sitting down with the candidates and telling them this is the way to do it. She's real, real good at that. And the movie does that a lot also, by the way. The movie's fantastic.
Oh, good.
I just wanted to go have dinner with Stephanie. I was not that eager to go to the movie. The movie was amazing. It was so good. And you don't have to be like an economics nerd to see and love this movie. It was so, so really good music, good graphics.
Cool.
And fun. I mean, laughing, literally laughing out loud at some of this stuff.
Oh, good.
In any case, at dinner, she was telling me about this woman who was a young economist. I had never heard of her. And she was the first to come up with this or the one who popularized it. Definitely the one who popularized it. Maybe not the first to come up with it, but the first who was famous coming up with exactly what you were just talking about, which is inflation was caused, at least in part, by the greed and avarice of these corporations.
Without a doubt.
Well, when this woman published that story, she was became public enemy number one for every major economist, starting with Paul Krugman, by the way.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. But wow.
And then, I mean, Stephanie and another woman economist, you know, like formed like a group with this woman, you know, to give her emotional support because they knew the kind of attacks that she was going to get, which are, you know, not unlike what's happened to Stephanie when she popularized MMT.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, and this woman, I don't remember if she was interviewed in the movie or she just showed up in the movie at one moment, but you know, it was the first time I had ever heard her name at dinner, and then there she was on the screen. But you know, it's a very, very important piece of this inflation story, and you know, the people that we know have all absorbed this by now.
Yeah.
But most Americans haven't.
Yeah.
They don't get that.
Well, I mean, I absorbed it in terms of understanding that the price increases. I haven't. It's very difficult to get by these days more than it was, you know, a couple of years ago. And I get the pandemic and I get that prices rose because of the supply chain and all kinds of things. But corporate price gouging is a huge part of this. And it seems like, you know, too many people are afraid to call them out. But it is apparent. And so, yeah, I will definitely reach out to Stephanie. You know, I saw her promoting the movie On with Jon Stewart a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, oh, I need to get in touch with Stephanie and get her back on the show. And I totally spaced out on it. So you reminded me. And now that I'm looking in my book, Howie, got a call at the beginning of the show from listener Kenny in Vermont, who asked me to ask you if you know or knew Jonas Hardy. He apparently was the tour manager for Three Dog Night.
No.
Okay, because
I never had anything to do with Three Dog Night.
I didn't think you did. But Kenny asked me to ask you. Apparently, he's also a cancer survivor, and he thought you might know him. So I said I would ask you, so I asked you.
Okay.
Okay.
It might be interesting, aside from talking to Stephanie, who's always fascinating, to ask her to introduce you to that young economist that she told me about. I can't remember her name, but if you just say the young woman economist that you told Howie about at dinner, she'll know exactly who you're talking about.
I absolutely will. I will definitely do that. So I am headed up to Prescott, Arizona tomorrow because there's this music festival happening this weekend. I'm only going for tomorrow. We've talked about Michael Franti before and how big of a fan I am. Well, he is headlining tomorrow night at this Pure Imagination Music Festival. And so I was able to finagle a couple of tickets, and I'm going with. Do you remember Terry Gladstone? Did you know Terry?
Of course.
Yeah. So Terry. Oh,
well, I don't really know her. I knew her from the radio station.
Right. So Terry, a dear old friend of mine, we've been friends for 40 years. We met at KNX FM shortly after I moved to California. It was like 1987 or 88. Well, she and her husband now live just north of Phoenix in an area called Cave Creek. Anyway, she and I are going for a little girls' overnight trip up to Prescott to see Michael Franti, and then we're going to just come back on Saturday. But so I'm all excited because, you know, certain musicians give you this shot of positive energy, and that's what Michael Franti does. And right around now, I really, really need that. So,
right. Well, I knew him when he was a kid, just getting started, and I thought he was a great guy.
He is. He's the real deal. He's just genuinely kind. He's a good person with a great heart. And his music's
Speaking
great.
Speaking of Cave Creek, by the way, that's part of the district that Connor O'Callaghan is in.
Oh, awesome.
And we have him coming onto the show in a couple of weeks,
yep,
right?
Yep, on June 6th. I've got it in my book. June 6th, Connor O'Callaghan. I can't wait. I'm really excited. I didn't realize he was in that district. I'll talk to Terry about that and try to get them in on, helping to spread the word. That they've got.
Yeah, that's the extreme north. Northwest of the district.
That's right.
The district goes out into the desert, basically, of Maricopa County.
Yes, it's beautiful up there too. It's like you get away from the city, and you're just starting to go up in the hills. I haven't been to Prescott yet, but it's the area around. It's Flagstaff and Sedona and Prescott, which are apparently pretty blue areas. Do you remember Dennis Constantine?
Yes, of course. Okay. From WLYR.
Well, and from KBCO, and he's the guy who was responsible for putting KSCA on the air in Los Angeles. He was responsible for that part of my career, really. Well, Dennis now lives in Prescott, and he programs the station up there, and I can't think of the call letters, but it's on repeaters, a good AAA station that covers Prescott and Flagstaff and Sedona and that whole area. So he arranged for these tickets for us. So.
You think you'll see him?
No, because he's on the road. He's out of town this month. Like they had the non-convention in Philadelphia last week, and now he still consults a bunch of stations. So he's on the road this month, but he arranged for us to have tickets. So we're going tomorrow.
Nice. Well, if you talk to him again, say hi for me.
I'll talk to him all the time. Yeah.
WLIR, I don't know that was his first station, but that's when he and I first came in touch. And that was really, really a long time ago.
I didn't even know Dennis Constantine was at LIR. I know Dennis McNamara was at LIR. Might be a different Dennis. Dennis Constantine.
Yeah, maybe I know Dennis Constantine.
You know him from AAA Radio. Yeah, LIR was.
No, didn't he work at WBCO in Boulder?
Yes. KBCO.
Yeah, I know him from that.
KBCO. Yep. West of Mississippi. Yeah, so he was at KBCO. And
right, I was mixing him up with McNamara.
Yes, that's what
I
thought.
Anyway, I'm sure we've now put your entire audience to sleep.
It's okay. The show's over now anyway. Howie Klein, always a pleasure. We'll talk next week. Glad you're home. And thank you, as always.
Thank you.
Okay. Talk to you. All right. Bye-bye. Tomorrow, again, Marcy Wheeler. And yes, I am. It's not KYCA. I will tell you exactly what the station is. KVNY? Is that it? KVNY, I think is it. No, that's in Van Nuys. That's Van Nuys Airport. KVNA. KVNA. Yep. KVNA FM. And you can listen to it. If you want to hear the kind of radio that I enjoy, it's myradioplace.com. And they have a little group of radio stations. KVNA FM is the one that Dennis programs that I was talking about. Really good music station. I'm hoping he's going to put me on the air on weekends or something, but we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Anyway, if you want to listen to myradioplace.com and go for KVNA. V like victory, N like Nicole, A like A. Yeah. All right. Tomorrow. So yes, okay. So here's how it's going to work tomorrow. I'm recording with Marcy first thing in the morning. I will upload it to the YouTubes. So it will run as an instant premiere, however they do that, at Showtime at 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern. If you usually listen to the audio stream, you'll be able to hear it through the Progressive Voices channel at progressivevoices.com or on my website on the Progressive Voices player, because they'll have the audio that they will run from there. I will not be here. I will not be running anything. I will not be in the chat room. So, but we will have a show. So everybody listen, enjoy. It's Marcy Wheeler, so we're going to learn a lot. And then unplug and have a weekend. And we will reconvene on Monday. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Spocko will be in the chat room to hang out with you guys. Thank you, Spocko. And thank you all again for us listening. My website, my art website, is now in beta mode, but it works. I've made 2 sales already. So there's still tons of pieces that I need to photograph and put up on the site. So go look at it. It's coronasurprises.com. Feel free to peruse. Ask any questions you want. I will combine shipping on different items. So if there's a couple of things you want, don't go through the purchase process on the website. Email me and I'll get back to you and we can combine shipping and all that stuff. And be sure to fix the YouTube volume first. Spocko, if I'm not here, the YouTube volume will work. It's when it goes through my system is when it gets screwed up. So hopefully that'll work. Is there a problem today with the volume? I don't know. Anyway, so feel free to look. I do custom work. So if you see anything, you'd like it made in a different color, you know, let's talk. Okay. All right. With that, I'm out of here. I'm going to start prepping for tomorrow morning because I want to be on the road by 10. All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. Onward and upward, I suppose. All right. Have a great night. Have a great weekend because, well, I'll say it on tape, but, you know, I'll see you Monday. Peace out.